the children come. Don't dare drive them away. In them the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Welcome to Children's Bible Journey, with stories and songs just for kids. We have a dramatized Bible story coming up, but let's get today's program started by singing praises to our awesome God.
Sure makes your heart feel happy. We'll do some more singing in a few minutes. Now let's get back to our continuing Bible story from the Bible and Living Sound.
It's morning. Adam, wake up. Uh-huh. It's morning. Adam?
Good morning, Eve.
It is a good morning, Adam. It's beautiful. The early morning sun, sparkling dew. Oh, Adam, I'm so glad God created me.
You're happy, aren't you?
Completely. And I always will be.
Unless we disobey God. Obedience, perfect and perpetual, will bring eternal happiness. Disobedience will bring unhappiness and death.
Death. What an ugly sounding word. I prefer to think of life, happiness, joy, and love.
And there's no need to think of death. We can live forever.
Forever and ever.
As long as we eat of the fruit of the tree of life, we will live forever. And the condition under which we can forever eat of the fruit is obedience. It's that simple.
We will obey.
We will. And as long as we do obey, our capacity to learn, to love, to be happy will continually increase.
I just couldn't be happier than I am at this moment.
Oh, Eve, darling. God endowed us with high intelligence, and that intelligence will grow and increase as we live and learn and obey. There's absolutely no limit to our happiness and joy.
I believe that, Adam, for I'm even happier now than I was a moment ago.
But there's one thing we must remember and never forget.
What?
And that is to love God and not eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil.
Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die.
That's right.
You see, I remember God's commandment word for word.
Oh, you're wonderful, Eve. I think you're God's crowning achievement of creation. You're so beautiful and lovely. I adore you.
And what, my dear husband, are we going to do today?
Do? We're going to work in the garden and dress it and keep it as God instructed us to do.
Adam, there's something I want.
I want.
Something beautiful. At least I think it would be.
Name it, Eve, and so shall it be.
Well, I want an enclosure, a room of solid color.
Ah.
Red, perhaps. Do you think that's possible?
Of course. We'll plant and train roses, red roses, to form your enclosure. A room of living color.
Oh, let's get started right now. One, two.
I'm eager to begin.
All right. You can collect the roses, and I'll walk around and select the place, and then we can start.
No, Eve. We must remain together. A united shield against the adversary. God has so instructed it.
Then I'll never, never leave your side, Adam. Never. Oh, what a beautiful shade of red. We'll train this rose to be the archway into the room. Adam, come here and see this rose. Adam? Adam? Adam, where are you? I must have strayed farther from him than I thought, and he told me to stay by his side. The angel told me that, too, so I'd better. I have a mind of my own. I have intelligence enough to recognize Satan if he tries to tempt me. I'll go where I please in this garden. After all, it's mine, and I... Oh, there's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Fruit is so beautiful. I wonder why God cautioned us not to eat it. Surely he
did not God give you permission to eat of every tree in the garden?
No, we cannot eat of this fruit. He said that... What? Who's speaking? I don't see anyone.
Look up in the tree, Eve. Do you not see a serpent, the most subtle and beautiful of all God's creatures?
Yes.
It is I who speaks.
But you... Well, serpents can't talk, and they can't read minds, like you just read mine.
You're beautiful, Eve, the most beautiful of all God's creations. Your beauty surpasses even mine.
Really?
You're lovely, ravishing... But, Eve, you're not very intelligent.
I'm not.
No. Tell me, did God actually forbid you to eat of this fruit?
Why, yes. He said that if we even touch it, we would die.
And you believed him?
Why?
Oh, that, my beautiful Eve, is where you are not very intelligent. You will not die. Touch it. Eat it. You will not die.
Then why did God say we would?
Oh, my dear Eve, now you're showing signs of intelligence. You're questioning God's word. And I'll tell you why God forbids you to eat this fruit. God knows that when you eat it, your eyes will be opened. You will become wise as God himself, and he doesn't want that. He would be jealous because you would achieve a higher sphere of existence, a broader field of knowledge.
What?
You would become equal with God. Naturally, he doesn't want that.
I don't believe it.
Don't believe it? I'm a serpent. Serpents can't talk. But I ate of this fruit, and then, Eve, then I ascended to the power of speech. You too, Eve, when you eat this fruit, will achieve godlike powers. You will become a goddess.
Oh.
See? I eat the fruit even now. I'm not dead.
No.
Neither will you die. You can't. You have eaten of the tree of life. Eat of this tree, Eve, and reach a nobler life. Find greater happiness. Here, take some of the fruit and eat it.
But God said we'd die if we even touched the fruit.
Oh, he did. But Eve, you are touching it. You're holding some of it in your hand, and you are not dead.
Well, I'm not, am I?
Of course not. Eat it, and you won't die either. Go on, eat it.
It does look like good fruit to eat.
It is.
Well, I guess just one bite won't hurt anything.
Of course it won't. Go on, eat it. Eating it won't harm you any more than touching it. That's it, Eve. Eat it. Eat another bite. And another.
It is good. It tastes delicious. And I do believe I'm ascending into a higher state of existence. I feel exuberant.
You are. Yes, you are. Eat more. Pluck some from the tree and eat all you want. And why don't you take some to Adam so he can eat too?
Yes, I will. I'll take a handful. Oh, I want Adam to become a god too. Oh, I can hardly wait to take these to Adam. We'll be happier than ever.
We'll continue the Bible story tomorrow. And if you would like to have these stories to listen to at home, you can call the Bible in Living Sound at 1-800-634-0234. That's 1-800-634-0234. Now here's some more music before we have to say goodbye.
About ready for bed?
Mom, I'm mad.
At whom?
God.
Do you think he minds?
He's probably used to it. What's the problem?
The fall festival banquet at school is just 2 days away, and I'm catching a cold. I know I am because my head hurts and my throat feels like I swallowed sandpaper.
Oh, dear. Let me make you some warm herbal tea.
Mom, I prayed and asked God to help me not be sick this year like I was last year. But did he hear me? No.
Wait a minute. Didn't you go to school without your jacket yesterday?
I hate my jacket. Nobody wears that style anymore.
And didn't I see you eating ice cream and cake 2 nights in a row before you went to bed?
Mom, I'm a growing girl. I need nourishment.
And didn't I remind you to wash your hands after we came back from shopping on Monday?
Hey, I hadn't been playing in the dirt.
No, but you had been pushing a shopping cart where I told you flu viruses love to wait for their next victim.
So God isn't powerful enough to protect me from cold winds, ice cream, and shopping carts?
He sure is. He's also loving enough not to interfere when we do dumb things that make us sick. He gives us freedom, but he doesn't reward us when we choose to do what we know can do us harm. Prayer is a two-way street. We have to do our part.
Okay, I get what you're saying. I didn't do my part.
Well, I'm going to do mine. You just lay back and I'll bring you some tea. And you might want to thank God for allowing you the freedom to learn from your mistakes.
Thanks, Mom.
Jesus wants to be our friend. He has placed in our hearts a desire to share our deepest secrets and brightest hopes with Him. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
Right.
You're special from the spine of you.
Very special. or save me the middle of your Oreo. Why do you always try?
Verses 13 and 14 say, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well."
Hi, boys and girls. This is Ms. Kathy. I'm so happy you've joined me today for another story just for you. Chapter 6, Cowboys and Indians. With a look of disappointment written all over his face, Willie soon returned to his friends on the trail. Shorty was right beside him, and Zach rode on the saddle in front of Willie like he was a real cowboy, too. "Oh, thank you for finding Zach," Dee Dee said. "I was so worried he was gone for good this time." "We didn't catch the kidnapper," Willie grumbled, "but at least we did find Zach. He must have gotten scared by all the commotion." "You weren't really hoping to catch the kidnapper, were you, Willie?" Dee Dee asked. "I mean, it could have been dangerous." Willie shrugged. "Smokey and I can handle anything," he said confidently, patting his horse on the shoulder. "Okay, Willie," Shorty said, laying a hand on Willie's shoulder. "I admit that you and Smokey make a good team, but it was still dangerous to take up the chase when you didn't know who or what you were chasing." "But I do know who I was chasing," Willie argued. "I was chasing an Indian." He looked at Dee Dee. "You saw him too, didn't you?" Dee Dee nodded. "I saw someone in the bushes close to Apache. I thought maybe I saw a head with a feather sticking up. Maybe there was an Indian." "It is always possible that Apache could have untied himself," Shorty admitted. Dee Dee shook her head. "You said that Apache couldn't have gotten loose without help. I don't think someone tried to kidnap Apache, but I think whoever it was untied Apache to distract us while he kidnapped Zach." Dee Dee looked at Shorty. "Someone tried to kidnap Zach last night, too." "But an Indian?" Maria exclaimed. "Just because we're riding horses doesn't mean we have to play cowboys and Indians." "Willie and I aren't imagining things, and we're not playing cowboys and Indians," Dee Dee argued. Shorty pointed down the trail. "Okay, let's not get into an argument. I think it's time we started back," he said. "And what's this about an attempted kidnapping last night?" As the Shoebox Kids headed back toward Wild Horse Mountain Retreat, Dee Dee explained how Zach had completely disappeared the night before.
"That sounds mysterious," Shorty said.
"But he was waiting for us back at the cabins," Dee Dee added.
Very strange. Dee Dee nodded. It is strange, she thought to herself. She studied Shorty's face for a long time. Shorty was Wild Horse Mountain's wrangler, but Dee Dee didn't know how long he had been working there. Does Shorty know who is trying to kidnap Zach?
The story you have heard today is a chapter of The Shoebox Kids, Book 10, Adventure on Wild Horse Mountain, written by Eric Stoffel, edited and created by Jerry D. Thomas, and used with permission from the Pacific Press Publishing Association. If you're interested in any other books published by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, please visit AdventistBookCenter.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
This podcast is a production of the Carolina Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Children's Bible Journey was brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio and is a production of Life Talk Radio at lifetalk.net.